It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 20. We're going to read the 20th chapter, so please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 20 and follow along with me as we read today. If you would please do that, because it's always wonderful to read the Word of God. And if you are traveling and you cannot stop to read, why, just listen very carefully. While you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit us at our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that you have joined us today. We always get right into the study so that we can enjoy God's Word, and please follow along now as we read Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned to Gerar. Abraham said unto Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. And for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done to us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, Surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet instead, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. It came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall go, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and manservants and womanservants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given my brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes, and unto all that are with thee, and with all others. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. Each time we read your word, there's so much for us to learn. And the only way we can learn from you is if your spirit, if he will teach us. He, as a believer, he indwells my heart. He indwells everyone's life in everyone's heart. And as they come by faith to you, Lord Jesus, those that have not come by faith to you do not have the opportunity to learn from you. And when they read your precious book, Lord, it is nothing to them because they do not have the Holy Spirit in their heart. When they read your book, the Holy Spirit from the outside will begin to work and show them their sin and bring them to you. And then they've got a choice to make. Do they trust in you or do they deny you? And Lord Jesus, that's the choice that each one of us had to make at some time in our life, or maybe still have to make. Please, Lord Jesus, I ask that you come into each heart that's listening today. And I ask that those hearts be broken. And Father, that you will send your Spirit that will convict the hearts, and they will trust in your Son Jesus today. Come to the cross of Calvary today. Please, Lord, please touch their hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look at this verse of Scripture, these chapters. We find that Abraham, once again, we've had many things going on in Abraham's life, and we've kind of went off with Lot and what was going on in Lot's life. And we know, according to the last study, that what had happened there, and we have the beginning of two other lands and two other countries with the Moab and Ammon. And if you look on a map in the back of your Bible, why, if you go off to the west of the land of Israel, land of Canaan, you'll cross the Jordan River, continue to go west, because there's 2.5 tribes that settled on that side, if you have a map of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then if you go just a little further west, midway, why, you'll find Moab, and then you come, I'm sorry, Ammon, then you come down and find Moab. I think I've got that straight in the direction that it's going in. Yes, Ammon is first, and then you'll find Moab below that, and then below that is Edom. And as we look at these scripture verses, and we look at these places here, it's important for us to, kind of take a look at the map and see what's get these places, these things in our mind. As you look at Canaan, and then again on to the west, you have Ammon, then south is Moab, then we get into the Edomites and go all the way back over to the coast on the east side, and you'll find, I'm sorry, I'm going the wrong direction for you, aren't I? I was watching the map and talking at the same time. I shouldn't have been doing that. As we look at the at this map, and we find that the joy of studying is to know what we're doing and what we're talking about. And I've just misled you. I didn't mean to do that. As you look at the map, and the maps are always for the north, and then so you can go to the east and you'll find Ammon and Moab. To the west you'll find the coast, and if you come down south you'll find the old Philistines. It always gave trouble to them. And so that'll help you. And I apologize as I was looking at the map incorrectly. We find those two lands, those two people, and if you remember, those are the descendants of Lot, because of Lot's two daughters. And as they got Lot drunk, and both of those daughters got with child, and they began these two lands, and they were always kind of a pain to the nation of Israel. Well, through that, through the last chapter there, we found that that there was much going on in Lot's life, and Abraham interceding for him, and then Abraham looked and saw that it was destroyed, and all those things. And it seems like that Abraham really has everything under control and everything is in place. Well, as we look now at the 20th chapter, we find Abraham kind of loading up and going down south to a place called Gerar. And if you'll look on the map, why, it's just above, almost into Edom. As you look at the land, it's way down south. I don't think the Lord ever intended Abraham to go that far south. What purpose did he go down south? It didn't seem like he was going into a safe area. He sure didn't have to lie about his wife up in the northern part around Bethel and places like that where he's built his an altar. He didn't have to lie about Sarah being his sister. And yet we find that as they journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned to Gerar. Abraham said unto Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Well, you know, it's sad, very sad, as we look at this this time here. And you remember, has that happened before? You know, it comes to my mind that he went into Egypt, and he said the same thing when he got into Egypt. He told the that this is my sister. Now, do you recall why that Abraham feels it necessary to bring this lie? And if you'll remember what we just read, it's only kind of a half a lie, so I guess it's not too bad. Is that right? It's only a half a lie. But as we look at this scripture verse here, why it brings back to memory when he was went down into Egypt, and he shouldn't have lied about his wife there. God would protect him and take care of him. And now why he turns around and does the same thing again. He got in trouble the first time, and isn't it something how that the world, ungodly people, are, you know, what we would look to that. We find here this Abimelech seems to be more of a godly man than Abraham. And it just is strange that Abraham in so many ways walks so close to the Lord, and yet about that time why he begins to walk the other direction. And we do the same thing. And you know, when you look at Jonah, and when he is called to go to Nineveh to preach, why he goes down, and he goes down, and he goes down. Well, here we've got that same word, don't we? And sojourned from thence towards the south. He went down towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said unto Sarai's wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife." And it wasn't just any man's wife. It's the prophet's wife. You have taken a prophet's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister?" And she, even she said, herself said, "He is my brother. In integrity of my heart, in the innocency of my hands, have I done this." I didn't know anything about it. Isn't it so sad here that Abraham is the one that kind of put forth the lie? He got Sarah to repeat the lie. And now, why the king... isn't this something that do you ever kind of wonder about this? Did you kind of peek into the next chapter? Because when you peek into the next chapter, why we find the birth of Isaac. You know how old that Sarah is here? She's almost 90 years old. She is almost 90 years old. And when a king could have any woman in his kingdom, take any woman in his kingdom, he chooses Sarah. Again, that's 90 years old. But remember what the Lord is working in her. He has returned to her the body, not just outside, but inside, to be able to give birth to a child. He's performed a miracle here in many ways. And I think Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And I think that's the reason that Abraham kept doing this, because I'm not sure that Abraham looked as young as Sarah did. And so Sarah was, Abraham was concerned what was going to happen to him. We go into these foreign lands, you just say that you're my sister, and that way they won't bother me. Well, didn't he have any thought for his bride? He sure should have, but he doesn't seem to. He just kind of looking out for his own neck. And you know, we do the same thing many times. We just look to protect ourselves, and we don't sit here and think of someone else and are concerned about somebody else. How often is it that you're concerned about somebody else's well-being and their care more so than your own? How many times does your own take control, and then that way you worry about yourself? Well, you've got good company here, because we find that Abraham has done the same thing. And then he got Sarah to repeat the same lie. Abimelech thought she was a very beautiful woman, so he took her for his. But before anything could happen, God has intervened here, and he said to Abimelech in a dream, behold, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's clear, isn't it? You're a dead man. He's a prophet, as the scripture will tell us here just a little bit. And so, when this happened so quickly, why then Abimelech said, I didn't know. I didn't know. He said, and she said. They both said this. And so I'm innocent in this. Can't you see that, Lord? I'm innocent in this. Now, isn't it something how that this man, we have really no reference to whether this man is a believer or not, but he sure does believe the Word of God. And he seems to be a more righteous man than Abraham right now, doesn't he? He seems to have a better conversation going on with the Lord than what Abraham does. Remember where Abraham's at? He's going down south. He got to Egypt once, and that was trouble. Did the same thing there, got chastised by those folks. And then we turn around and get chastised again by this Abimelech because of what he has done. Why did Abraham repeat this process? Why did Abraham journey south? Was it because of what was going on with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he just wanted to get away from there? I don't know. I don't have any idea what's going on in his life, but he went down for so low. If you'll remember Kadesh Barnea, do you remember those words? That's where when the Israelites come back up out of Egypt here in a few hundred years that they come to Kadesh Barnea. And that's where they send the spies into the land to see what the land it looks like. And God said, take it. Abraham had once dwelt there, and it was time for them to return. But instead of that, they sent the 12 spies, decided that the cities were walled, the enemy was too great, and we're just not going to do it. And so they ended up, everyone 20 years above died in the wilderness because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faith in God. Well, we're down to that place between Kadesh and Shur, and so journeyed to Gerar. Well, again, he wasn't supposed to be down there. When he went down there, he was in what he felt to be enemy territory because he didn't trust the people that he would be safe, and so he lied about his wife, Sarah. Sarah followed in that lie. And again, we're back to Abimelech here, that he is pleading innocent. I don't know what happened because I didn't have anything to do with it, and I don't know anything about it because that's what they both said. They both agreed. And then we find here that the Lord has kept that, and the scripture is very clear. As we look at the sixth verse, God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou dost this in integrity and of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. If thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Oh, what a claim here. All that are thine will die, not only you, but all that are thine. God meant business, didn't he? This is God's man, even though God's man is down south out of where he's supposed to be. And he lied about his wife to protect his own neck. Doesn't seem like Abraham is a very strong man of faith, does it? But God has protected him, and understand that God protects us. And so it is wonderful how God's grace works. God's grace brought Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's grace is protecting Abraham as he's out of where he should be. And, you know, again, even to the point that when Abraham had to lie about his wife, that should have told Abraham, I got no business being here. Let's go back up north where we belong. But instead of that, why, he didn't. And it was just, it's just a case where we need to see that's us. That's our weak old flesh. And what did Abraham see? Was there something he was looking at? Was there something he saw in the land that he wanted? What was the reason? a reason that he would go to a place that he feared a little bit for his life, that they would, and so he was willing to give up Sarah, his wife. And that's so sad. In both cases, it doesn't make any mention that Abraham does anything when they take his wife Sarah. In both times, God intervenes. And here we find once again that he does. And God says to this Abimelech, he said, "Restore the man his wife. He is a prophet. He shall pray for thee." Now, isn't it something? The very man actions are so here that God says, "Now this man's going to pray for you that you'll be all right." And you know, the first thing we would say is, "Wait a minute here, who hurt who? Who did wrong to who here?" And instead of that, but Abimelech listened. I wish that we would listen. I wish that Abraham was listening as well as Abimelech is listening in this dream as he tells him what to do. "And now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." You got a choice, Abimelech. You either send back Sarah, and I will have this prophet. He will pray for you, and that will restore you. And if you choose not to, if you're going to keep her, then you expect to die, and all that are thine. And so now we come to the 8th verse. "Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid." Look what is, as Abimelech was sharing this, look what's going on, look what's happening here. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing?" You know, Abraham, what? Why did you do this? For what purpose did you do this? Abimelech wanted to know. And he said to Abraham, you know, he asked him repeatedly, you know, "And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom this great sin? Abraham, what have I done?" That's what he wanted to know. Well, what had Abimelech done? He hadn't done a thing. It was Abraham. Abraham's the one that was in trouble. Abraham was the one that was in the foreign land. Abraham was the one that was out of God's will right here. And yet he is the father of our faith, the father of the nation of Israel. But you see, he's just old natural man. For some reason, for whatever it was, he chose to go down south into Gerar. And for whatever reason, he didn't trust in the Lord enough to say, "This is my wife, Sarah, and I am of the God of that has brought me here, the true God, the only God." And I think his testimony went before him. But instead of that, he kind of snuck into town and lied about his wife, and Abimelech took her, and everything seemed to fall apart after that. He wants to know, why? Why? And then again in verse 10, "And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing?" And in verse 11, and Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." Now we want to spend just a few minutes right there. And I want you to take, if you're able to have your Bibles open, and if not, try to put it to memory. Next time you open your Bibles and you open it to Genesis chapter 20, and you come to this verse of Scripture here that we're just reading, and the 11th verse, and circle the whole verse, or just circle the part where it says, "I thought." Because if you'll notice, that's when we get in most of the trouble we get into. instead of surrendering our heart and our life unto the Lord and looking unto Him, instead of that, why we find ourselves that we begin to ponder and we're beginning to be a philosopher and we try to figure this out and figure that out. Abraham, he says, I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. Well, why did Abraham think the fear of God was any place as far as the land of Canaan's concerned? The fear of God, why did he think it was over in the land of Ur of Chaldees where he left from? You know, the fear of God, what's his thinking? Doesn't he understand that God was with him, protecting him and caring for him? Why did he think this change of place was going to change the fear of God on these with these people in the relationship to that? And then why would Abraham want to go to a place where he thought God wasn't present? So see, he was limiting God to start with. But the next thing is, why would you want to go someplace where you thought that God wasn't there? You know, and we do that all the time in this old wicked world. You know, there's a lot of places that we visit, and we do we not think God is present? Well, He is. He's there. It may be a wicked place, but if we are a believer in Jesus Christ and we go there, He is there. Now, here in Abraham's time, the Holy Spirit was up on the believer, and it was not a constant dwelling as it is today. That changed when Jesus Christ died on the cross and finished that work and rose again. But Abraham here says, I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. When we begin to think and stop depending upon the Lord, we move from a place of peace and patience to a position of fear. And it'll happen every time. Every time that you leave the presence of God, you leave God's Word, you leave God's fellowship, you decide that there are so many other things in this world that are so important, that God's church is not important, the study of God's Word with other believers is not important, the study of God's Word yourself and your own private life, personal life is not important. When you get to a place that you say those things and you think those things, that's the problem. That's what I thought. Well, that's exactly where you're at. I thought. And so I hope today, out of the study, that's one thing that you can recognize, that when you begin to think instead of beginning to pray, you put it to prayer. You look for God's will. Don't try to figure out what's right for you. You try to figure out what God has for you. And what that will bring is a comfort to you, a humbleness, a humbling to you, a strength to you, but it surely won't bring a fear to you. Not the kind of fear that Abraham's talking about here. The closer you get to the Lord Jesus, the more that you will look unto Him and look unto God the Father as someone that is so powerful and so all-knowing that it will bring a certain type of fear and it's beyond a level of reverence. But it is not a fear of that Abraham had here of these other nations. And they will, surely, the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet, instead, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, because she became my wife. Now, look at this, and doesn't this sound just like us? You know, not only do we sit down and try to excuse ourselves for what we do, but then also we you know, I thought, this is what I thought. You know, can you blame me for thinking? This is what I thought. But then he comes right back and says, I didn't really lie. She is my sister. Well, she's kind of my half-sister. So you see, he still did not reckon with himself. He did not look to himself and says, God, I'm sorry that I have not trusted in you. Please, God, forgive me. I need to trust in you. I need to know that you are sure and true, and that I can depend on you anywhere, anytime. And we need to do the same thing. We need to stop thinking so much and begin to meditate upon the Lord and His Word, that He will give us wisdom instead of trying to figure it out. You know, we need to make a decision. And that decision is whether you're going to trust in Jesus Christ or not. So, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?